Today's call is the DARDC Worldwide Conference Call on Service as Treasurer and DA Recovery, Sunday, March 21st, 2021. Readings. The 11th tool of Debtors Anonymous. We perform service at every level, personal, meeting, intergroup, and world service. Service is vital to our recovery. Please press star 6 to mute yourself. Only through service can we give to others what has been so generously given to us. The mission of the Debtors Anonymous Resource Development Committee is to increase Seventh Tradition contributions and clarify the use of Seventh Tradition funds. 2, encourage member participation in service at all levels. And 3, increase awareness within the DA Fellowship about the importance of self-support in DA at the group, intergroup, and world service levels. This call topic and speakers truly represent items 2 and 3 of the RDC mission in DA. Your Resource Development Committee acknowledges that there exists something maybe intimidating, maybe even fearsome or self-critical about giving service in the role of group, intergroup, or world-level treasurer. Being responsible for money, having conversations involving money, and handling money contributed by others, or believing you can handle business and not only the chairs. The DANS literature offers us some insight. Maya, if you're on the phone, would you be willing to read this next section?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. From the DA Treasurer's Manual, the Seventh Tradition in Action, many find that being treasurer offers an opportunity to practice humility, rigorous honesty, and asking for help, all of which contribute to our recovery. Furthermore, taking a service position, such as group treasurer, helps us to keep our commitment to our own recovery. Many members have said that had it not been for their service position, which required them to attend meetings, they might not have stopped coming, or they might have stopped coming altogether. Service to the fellowship is service to our higher power, to our fellows, and ultimately to ourselves. When we become willing to contribute, to give back, the God of our understanding meets us more than halfway. We begin to experience the freedom from fear, financial insecurity that is promised in DA. As our lives begin to change, we continue to give from a newfound sense of gratitude.
Thank you, Maya. The focus statement. On this call, please help us to keep the focus on the 12-step recovery program of Debtors Anonymous by leaving out other affiliations, your profession, other philosophies, outside publications, religions, and other 12-step programs. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, as well as this part, and all speakers consent by their participation to having the recorded uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcast. Please do not mention personal info or ask the speakers for their personal info while the call is being recorded. Somebody is unmuted. Thank you for considering looking at your star 6 and making sure that that's muted. It's time now for our speakers to begin. Today's speakers, so grateful to have on board with us Diana B. from New York City, George P. from Sacramento, California, and Paul M. from Sacramento, California. West Coast is truly representing. They will each speak on their experience in DA recovery that occurred by saying yes to the role of treasurer at the group, intergroup, and world service level. Our first speaker on the line is Diana B. from New York City as intergroup treasurer. Diana, how would you like your time?
I think I'd like... Basically, a 2-minute warning would be great.
Okay, 18 minutes? Yep. And again, someone's got background noise, and I guess I can do the whole global mute thing before it occurs. Unfortunately, that is going to have to happen today, it looks like. it was taken care of. Wonderful. All right, Diana, thanks so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope in service as treasurer. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Diana B., and I'm gratefully recovering in this program since approximately 2011. And I say approximately because I came into this program in a very, very, like many, in a very deep fog that had been exacerbated by the market crash of 2008 and further exacerbated by becoming paralyzed in front of my income taxes that needed to be filed that year. And so I came to the program on my knees at about $300,000 of debt and no assets in New York City, and having lost my job. The company I worked for had gone out of business. And I was, like I said, like many, despairing and at my wit's end, and really completely on my knees, open to whatever advice someone would give me to get out of debt. That was my perspective when I came into the room, was that this was a financial recovery program and not a spiritual program. And I like to start my share with that because my involvement in as a treasurer at the intergroup level, but as a treasurer sort of throughout my recovery, has been a cornerstone of my path in this program. I became a treasurer for the first time, very much in keeping with the reading that we had just a few minutes ago, which was I was afraid that I would slip back into depression and stop going to meetings. And so once I hit my 90 days of not incurring any additional unsecured debt, I was very quick to lean into service. And many of the people that I was talking to in the rooms were very ambivalent about managing money. And I never felt that kind of insecurity. And so I initially stepped forward, a little bit egocentrically, perhaps, thinking, well, nobody else wants to do it. I'm good at this, so let me do this. But what it required was for me to set a couple of alarm clocks to make sure that I got to that meeting, no ifs, ands, or buts, every single week. And so it was very much, you know, people talk about when they come to the program, they do 90 and 90, or they look at a lot of different meetings, and sometimes they go to visions meetings, or sometimes they go to how meetings, or action partner type meetings. To me, the type of meeting had nothing to do with it, or was far lower in priority than just getting to a meeting on time and, you know, being prepared and present in that meeting. And there's nothing like being present in a meeting when you have to say the seventh tradition contribution announcement and manage the money and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it very much for me was a tool in lifting the fog I was in when I came to program. After I've been in a program a certain number of years, I had been interested in intergroup, but the intergroup in New York City met at a day that was I had a very weekly meeting, you know, 12 months of the year. That particular evening was going to be out for me. And so I was encouraged, although I was somewhat resistant, to go to the GSR, because in my mind I felt like, well, you know, you have to, you know, that you needed to be in program a lot longer than I had been to be in a GSR meeting. But I went to the meeting, and the very first meeting I attended ended up being the meeting where they were voting in, voting in service positions, and no one wanted to be treasurer. So I was like, well, higher powers in the room. This is something I've been doing on the meeting level. So let me take care of, let me step forward into this. And the additional duties on the GSR level for the New York area was to manage all the contributions of the various groups and to manage the checking account. I had a checking account, had a non-for-profit business employer ID number, and, you know, various, very varying level of increased structure and higher amounts of money, and also had to be much more in conversations with various GSRs around the city about what they needed in terms of resources to attend the annual conference. And the reason I say that is because my professional background and my personal background. My personal background, so I came from a family where my father was a gambler, in a word. My family split up and I was very young, and we never knew whether we were going to give, whether he was going to come up with the child support. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My youngest brother was a year and a half. And so there was a lot of fear and anger and dysfunction around conversations around money and how much money and whether we had the money and could pay the bills from the money, all of that. That whole thing was pretty rife with dysfunction and pain. And part of what brings me on my knees to this program is a very strong desire, a dysfunctional desire, not that I'm a psychology, I shouldn't be using that term, dysfunctional, but maybe just a confused desire to never, ever have to think about money again. And there's something about the role of being a treasurer at the GSR level which lifts that false idea that in fact my serenity and my peace of mind and my ability to thrive is in fact dependent on my ability to have conversations around money and to talk to people about the money they need. That was something that was really challenging for me, to have conversations around this context of need fulfillment and being available to meet someone's needs, or in most cases, not being able to meet someone's needs. And being a treasurer on the GSR level, where we were having conversations about helping individual, you know, group, the ISR and the GSRs would go to conference, conversations were very much about that all the time. Or very much about, oh, well, you know, I need this amount of money to be able to attend a conference in 8 months. Well, what does that look like? How much money do I need per month, per meeting? How can I help them have conversations with their groups around their needs, their financial, reasonable financial needs? And so there was something about that that was very empowering to me. And I mean, I plus the clarity and the just the grounded presence at the GSR meetings to give a monthly report of the resources we had, the activity that occurred during the month, spending and contributions, and what we have at the end, which is like a cash flow statement, or some people call it a net worth, you know, just tracking the resources. Our GSR has an assistant treasurer who picks up the money at the mailbox and puts the deposit in the bank, and then I check the bank balance and get clarity on the activity in the month, and then produce the report. So in this role as treasurer on the GSR level, I also had to be basically communicating with someone else to make sure that they took care of that before I, you know, was able to do my part in it. So at the end of the day, you know, this decision to step into a role that required presence, you know, my presence of mind, physical presence, because before COVID, the GSR meetings were in person. Not every month, but maybe, you know, 2 out of 3 months. And to have those conversations around needs and what kind of plan in place to meet those needs and whether I could fulfill those needs from the resources that the bank account had. Making sure my online banking worked properly, not forgetting the passwords. I mean, I have to say that the first thing that starts to go when I get start to get foggy, the slippery slope, is I start to forget my passwords. So just making sure on a monthly basis that I had all the passwords at the ready to go and check the online banking was, you know, it sounds like a small thing, but in terms of my healing in this recovery program is critical. It's like the medicine. The tools, the steps and the tools and my service is the medicine that I need to get better in my own recovery. And so if I'm going to do the numbers for the GSR, guess what? I'm going to do my spreadsheet. If I'm going to talk about to people about what their needs are in terms of, you know, generating the contributions to go to service, well, guess what? I can look at my needs. What do I need in a given month as a self-employed person to cover my resources this month and the upcoming responsibilities? I am more present in that process. So it's every minute of time that I spend in the service position, I am fueling greater presence and involvement and commitment to my own prosperity and my own recovery. And then the last piece of it is just being more fluid in being able to talk about money without those conversations being fueled by discomfort or emotionality or defensiveness or all of the things that I had when I came into program. I did not ever want to talk about feeling afraid to run out of money or my worth. It's like, what is the worth of to service in going to a conference? What does that mean? What can you bring back to groups, and how can you vote on behalf of groups? Like the power of the democracy, the power of this being a bottom-up spiritual-based recovery program, being able to have conversations like that are about the value of contributing to the group, contributing to the fellowship, and then bringing that to my personal life. It's like the value that I bring to a client. Value that I bring and the worth of that value. And, you know, I mean, I used to be very much a person that hated billing my clients, hated, very ambivalent about looking around and seeing what people charged for the same service that I provide and charging the same, not undercutting myself to try to grow clients versus bill at full value plus maybe a 10% premium because I'm particularly good at it and I have a good reputation, and you know that there's no need for me to try to sell my value by being the cheapest option. And that is very much coming from the work I do as a treasurer, my comfort with my own value in my own work. So it's been quite an interesting ride. I've been doing this now for 2.5 years. It's time for me to turn the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, over to another treasurer, in the hopes that they will, you know, grow similarly, have the same experience. But I do have to say that there are a lot of people that are afraid. And so part of my reason for being on this call is to encourage people to let higher power in the room in the face of that fear and just recognize how empowering it is and what a confidence builder it is to be able to show up and provide that kind of that kind of service to the fellowship. I still, even amongst the GSRs, you know, there's a bank account, and the bank account needs a couple of signatories. And my first year and a half of doing this, I found it very difficult to even find a second co-signer on the account, which means that if I got hit by a bus, who's going to be able to write the check? Nobody. So it's also important to recognize that this is not, you know, it's not a one person thing, that there should always be some kind of backup, if nothing else, to, you know, be a second person to count your number, count out the cash, make sure you're not, you know, that everything is accurate. So that's, like, as part of it too, is that, you know, to be comfortable with a role that requires, or not requires, but just expects a commitment to a certain kind of precision. And when I came into program, you know, I wasn't confident that I could. I was in the fog. You know, things were not clear. Things were mushy. You know, everything was like, you know, $5 ish. It's like ish. The ish was like in every conversation I had about money. And you know, now it's like, you know, $132.73 to the penny. The final thing I want to say about this, which is really quite, to me, I find it hilarious, I'm smiling, which is when I went to my World Service Conference, you know, World Service Conference, I noticed that there was a lot of just kind of discomfort around. I mean, the fellowship was accepting gifts, but there was no real gift policy about people who were giving gifts upon death, you know, gift bequests from a will, or including the fellowship in a trust. And so, you know, part of the empowerment that I found in the group was to kind of be able to take a look at those bigger questions and ask the questions and develop a comfort zone talking about, you know, what that is and what it might look like and what other fellowships are doing. And you know, I'm proud to say, as a result of diving in to those conversations with comfort, that things have become much more clear, and the fellowship, you know, is much more prosperous in the context of, as a fellowship, being able to accept contributions in larger dollar amounts. So I don't know how long I've been talking. What's the time?
You're just coming up upon 2 minutes, so you have about 2.5 minutes left.
Oh, so I can wrap it up. So anyway, so at the end of the day, I guess the my hope in my share today is to be able to say it. Oh, the last thing I wanted to add, great, 2 minutes, perfect, is that it's not difficult. There's no, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, I hate to say it like that. Like, I don't want to minimize people's challenges around money, but there's no calculators involved. There's no statistical analysis. It's just, you know, how much money did you start with at the beginning of a month? And then how much money was taken in contributions through the mail or through, you know, online, however you want to categorize it. Our GSR had, for a while, we've gotten rid of it recently, but we took contributions by PayPal, and we took contributions by mail in check form. Then we had a separate category for money that was picked up from the post office but not yet deposited in the bank. So we had kind of like an in-transit bucket. Like, we knew we had it, but it hadn't been deposited yet. So we actually had three areas of where we received money. And then you add that up, and that's how much you have at the end of the month. You know, so it's not meant to be complex, just clear. So if nothing else, my recovery in this program is, even when I wake up and I'm feeling, you know, less than inclined to address the day with enthusiasm and energy, I always commit myself to clarity. And if there's nothing else, being a treasurer offers, it's an exercising of the tool of clarity. The goal of clarity. So anyway, so thank you guys for letting me talk on this today and how this this particular service has really transformed my recovery and is really, like I said earlier, the bedrock of it. And I look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say. And that's the end of my share. Thank you so much.
Diana, thank you so much. It's so great to hear your story as a treasurer and its support in your recovery journey. What a great treat. Thank you. Our next speaker is George P. from Sacramento, who's current group treasurer. George, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Sound check. Can you hear me?
George, we can hear you great. What I'm going to do is do a control mute, and then you can press star 6 to come in. Okay? And then,
okay.
George, how would you like your time?
Why don't you just let me know when 10 minutes has passed?
Great.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay, I'm going to just one moment while I mute the line. And then you can press star 6 to come back in. Thanks, George.
Sure. Okay, so I think we're good to go. Yeah, my name's George, George P. I'm a grateful member of Debtors Anonymous, a recovering compulsive debtor and also a business owner. And I've done treasury work on the meeting level, the intergroup level, and treasurer for a speaker meeting event we used to hold called Saturday Night Live. It was a monthly event, and so I was the treasurer for that event. I've learned a lot being treasurer, and just let me share with you when I came into DA in 1993, I was basically a under-earner slash no-earner. And while I latched on to tracking numbers and, having clarity around exactly what was going on with my finances, it took me a couple years to be able to figure out how to balance a checkbook. And I really appreciate the last speaker making the comment about, doing the treasurer calculations. It's really just basic math and arithmetic, because that was another thing for me. I'm of the generation where in grade school they introduced what was called the new math. And up until, the fifth grade, we were just doing arithmetic kind of calculations. And I was really thrown by that. So I developed a huge fear and shame about working with numbers or doing anything to do with math. And what I really like about being treasurer is, once again, it's just about counting. And so that was something that I was able to manage. But it took me a couple of years in DA to be able to, balance my own checkbook. And of course, being a treasurer in a meeting, most meetings will have a bank account. I have participated as a treasurer in some meetings and other programs where it was strictly a cash basis, which, was pretty straightforward and pretty easy. But what I needed to do in my early years in DA to learn how to balance my checkbook was to go to a strictly cash basis. So I worked for somebody at the time, and when I would get paid, I'd go deposit my check, I'd take out a certain amount of cash, and I'd buy money orders, and would just write one check a month to pay, my rent. But everything else I just, did with cash transactions. And that was the only way and also what I heard in the last year too was, growing up, my family situation around money, I would describe a scenario called the flying checkbook. And it was my mom and dad literally across the room throwing the checkbook towards one another to go, you know, do things. My dad, it was to go to the liquor store, you know, to get what he got there, as well as write checks for cash. And for my mom, it was to go to the grocery store. Now, as a child, I had no idea whether how well they were tracking any of that stuff. But needless to say, it felt like it was very chaotic. And I think when I think about my earlier time in DA and trying to just being, you know, mystified as to why can't I keep track of like what's in my bank account and, you know, what I've spent, things of that nature. It doesn't surprise me that, you know, that's the way it was for me. But getting back to the treasurership, so DA really, you know, really kind of prepped me and taught me, prepared me to be able to take a service position as a treasurer. I would have never have done it in the first couple of years, once again, just because of my lack of clarity and ability to keep track of things. But, you know, once I got a handle of my own finances and got clarity, like we do in DA, keeping our numbers and being out of vagueness, you know, it was time. And I guess I felt kind of empowered, you know. I felt like, hey, this is something I'm going to do, and I'm going to, I feel as though I can do it in my own finances. I should be able to do it for the group. And so I accepted that. And, of course, you know, the benefits of any service position, I believe, are that it commits you to the meeting. So, you know, you're gonna show up to the meeting regularly. It also, for me personally, it connected me to other members. You know, if you have a position, treasurer position, you know, people know that that's who you are, that you're taking care of the money at the end of the meeting. And so those are two real benefits of being able to take that position. Now, I didn't know that I wasn't a business owner when I came into Debtors Anonymous. I think I was about, let's see. Well, I've been a business owner for a little over 15 years. And I got to tell you, you know, what I do in my business today in terms of, and I just want to read you something that I pulled up here. In BDA, we have the BDA additional tools, and tool number 3 is we keep clean, orderly, and accurate financial records, including accounts receivable, accounts payable, cash on hand, inventory assets, outstanding debt, and put all tax and bill due dates on our calendar. You know, I got to tell you, from my years of being a treasurer at different levels, you know, these were the things that I was doing in that service position. I mean, it's like, you know, at the end of every meeting, you count the money, you put it in a ledger, make a deposit in the bank. So it was a regular process of being able to clearly know, you know, where the finances were and to be accountable for them. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I didn't know it at the time because I wasn't a business owner at the time, but this practice of being the treasurer really prepared me well for when I did do my business and the way I run my business today. Which brings me to, I wrote down some things, which brings me to, you know, some of the challenges for me in terms of being the treasurer, taking that service position. One of the things is in business meetings, and, you know, I'll just paraphrase the statement in DA about, you know, some of us felt like business was not for us, and that certainly was me in the, you know, in the earlier parts. I really had to, being treasurer and coming up with that report, which was just a, you know, a basic report. It's like beginning balance in the checkbook, what was the seventh tradition income, you know, what were the expenses, rent, maybe some additional item, and then what's the ending balance. And so pretty straightforward, but I got to tell you, my experience of being in business meetings and being the person that's holding the money and being the person that's presenting the data is I had to really practice humility, because it's funny how in this program where people have challenges with their own money, when it comes to the group's money, it's like everybody's just on it, you know. And I remember, you know, sometimes when maybe what I was reporting wasn't exactly clear to some of the members, and then there's this big discussion and, you know, questions being asked. And that was challenging for me at first, because I guess my maybe shame came up, or just, you know, I run my business. I have a, you know, I'm the CEO, manager, and employee of my business. It's just a one-person thing. So I'm not really used to having people, you know, look at my work, so to speak. But being able to, once again, track things clearly and then be able to present them at these business meetings, and to, you know, take questions and even take some appropriate suggestions of how to change things. You know, I've learned a lot from being able to do that. What else do I got? Okay, thank you, Diana. So here's some other ways that this, you know, journey of taking this position at different times has helped me. Certainly, like I mentioned before, in my business, being able to be prepared for, you know, a tax appointment with very clear, you know, records and things of that nature. A lot of that, the foundation of that came from taking this treasurer position that, you know, wasn't really complicated, but it did require, you know, having accurate data. And another thing, too, is every week in my business and personal account, I reconcile those online. And I got to tell you, it really gives me a sense of peace when I do that. And I do take joy out of counting money. I do like to, I don't know if it's the OCD thing or what, but I like counting money. I like putting it in stacks. If, you know, like when the meetings were live, we were taking a lot of, you know, $1 bills and such. And I just like organizing things. So, you know, it's kind of like it's all right there. And I take some serenity in that, you know, knowing that things add up has been good. Just a little sidebar with that part. So one of the issues, I just want to put this out as being, I wrote down some issues as being the treasurer, because it's just my experience and I thought it might be helpful. One of them is, and I don't do this, but sometimes it happens in meetings, is whoever the treasurer is, after the thing's gone around, they count the money while the meeting is going. And I personally have found that to be distracting. And so I have always, you know, always wait until after the meeting is done, and I kind of, you know, sequester myself over to a side of the room, and I do it right there just to stay current. And it can be challenging, too, because after a meeting, sometimes people want to come up to you and they want to talk to you and things of that nature. And, you know, you're right in the middle of counting and, you know, 24, 20, and then they start a conversation, you've got to count over again. So anyway, I'm just saying that, hey, you know, maybe if your treasurer is counting the money, don't bother him. But the other thing is, and I heard this in the previous year, the other thing is, you know, dealing with the bank. It's like we recently changed the treasurer over in our Friday BDA meeting. And so we had to get a new signer on the account. And we've been dealing with this bank for a long time. And this is another humility exercise for me. We've been dealing with this bank for a long time. And the things that were required to just get another person on the signature, in my mind, this is just my stuff, but in my mind it was like, what the heck? This is way too much. You know, it was like an act of Congress having to sign, I don't know, 6 or 7 different documents to get this person on the signature thing. But I remember being in there and just saying to myself, and then later to another member that was there with us, that, hey, you know, that's my stuff. And if that's what's required to do grown-up business, I think that's the thing, one of the things that comes up for me about being treasurer, too, is that, hey, you know, this is kind of grown-up stuff. And I tend to kind of have a reaction about grown-up stuff, even though I have my own business and DA, you know, helped me a lot kind of grow up in some ways. It still comes up for me. So anyway, that was a good opportunity to practice humility. Presenting to business meetings, yeah. So yeah, once again, I just, you know, I've learned a lot from doing this position. It's also a position that I found that if you know, okay, I can't be at every meeting every time, and if somebody, you know, if I'm not going to be there one week and I let somebody know, the money's going to be there when I return the next week. So there's a little bit of flexibility with that, and it's important. You know, we pay rent to a church. We have, even though we're not meeting there, in our business meeting, we agreed to, you know, to support the church and keeping to pay for the space. So, you know, it's important to get that check there on time and do the deposit on time and things of that nature. So, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. When I was thinking about sharing on this topic, it seemed like, I don't know, you know, how much could you say? But it has, I've learned a lot. One, and I'll just share this. Another thing that I learned, as well as being able to have clear records for my business, is I was assigned a co-trustee at my mom's trust when she was alive, and as the youngest of 4 kids, I think what she saw in me for that was that I had been in Debtors Anonymous for all of those years. I wasn't in any financial stress like my 3 older brothers would come to her for money, and she trusted me. You know, I think she trusted me. She knew kind of how I managed things, and I got to tell you once again, that stuff all came from, you know, the different tools and working the steps in DA. But on a practical level, I really believe that it came from stepping up and doing this treasure work of being responsible to have clarity and accuracy and honesty. I never fell in a position that I would take any money from the treasury, although I've heard that that happened in other programs that I've been in. But yeah, it's a really great tool. Always grateful to do service. Always try to do service. And I really encourage anybody to do that. I helped a former treasurer help them, you know, with trying to balance things and come up with the report and things, and I've always been glad to do that. I think that's all I have. So thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Excuse me. Thank you so much. What a wonderful share and encouragement around treasure. Our third and final speaker is Paul M., also from Sacramento, California. Woo! And Paul will be speaking on his treasure experience at the World Service level. Paul, are you on the line? You'll need to press *6, Paul, to unmute.
Yes. Hi, Diana. Here I am. Can you hear me?
We can, Paul. And Paul, how would you like your time?
I'm going to speak for about 20 minutes, and I'd like a 5-minute, you know, give me a warning 5 minutes before the end, mm-hmm. and then 1 minute before the end.
You got it.
Thank you. Thanks, Diana, for all the work you've done to put this event together. And thank you both, Diana B. from New York and George from Sacramento. Because of my involvement in Debtors Anonymous at various levels, I know both of you, and I have a face. When you speak, I have a face that I can match up with the voice. And it's going to be great when we can get back together in person and see some faces again. You know, and all this remote participation has had its advantages as well. So I just wanted to get started with that. And I want to get started with a little bit of vulnerability here, and it's this. And if I didn't say it already, I'm Paul, and I'm a compulsive debtor. And I want to just say this also. Hi, I'm Paul, and when I take a leadership role, I feel fear that I will disappoint. And I wrote that down one time after a conversation with my sponsor. And so I always have a little bit of that going on. I've done a lot of service in Debtors Anonymous, and I continue to do that. So I wanted to start out here with a little bit about, you know, George mentioned that that the treasurer duty for a meeting or any level of treasurer duty really is, you know, and George was speaking about fear of math and so on. And, you know, I hear that quite a bit. I never actually had that. I'm good with numbers. I'm kind of a spreadsheet geek. I've used spreadsheets for many, many years in my work. And so that wasn't, in fact, I'm so good with numbers that I got myself, Diana mentioned the Great Recession and what happened to the economy, you know, 2008, 2009. I had been a business owner for 18 years until the Great Recession, and then had to take a different path to earning a living. But I was always good with numbers. I was so good with numbers that I could put together projections and business plans that looked fantastic to the banks. And so I got myself in trouble with too much debt with my business. My attitude was, if I'm spending it on my business, you know, nothing is too good. So I'm good with numbers. And have been, and it's allowed me to do service at this level. I've been treasurer for local meetings here in Sacramento, for our intergroup in Sacramento, and I'm now assistant treasurer on the General Service Board of Debtors Anonymous. And so I want to kind of talk about all of that, and I'll focus maybe more on this level of service that I'm doing now. And I have been a treasurer in other fellowships too. I was a treasurer for a number of years for one of my home groups, and finally my sponsor reminded me that the position that I was holding is supposed to be rotating, and so I gave it up to somebody else. You know, and Diana was talking about, and George too a little bit, about even sometimes it's even hard to find, you know, who's going to be the second signer on our bank account. And so I just really encourage people to get involved, because even if you feel like you can't do the numbers for this kind of a job, it's really, you know, fifth grade arithmetic, and it's not that big of a deal. And as both of my predecessor speakers have said, there are people in DA who will help you. If you step up and take on a responsibility, there are plenty of people who will help, who have either done the job before or who just know how to do it. And so you will have help if you step up and take on that responsibility. And I just want to say also, this is, you know, Debtors Anonymous. We hear sometimes it's about the money and it's not about the money. Well, what does that mean? For me, it means this is a spiritual program with spiritual solutions. And, you know, money is you know, the numbers don't lie. And, you know, we have to work the steps, I believe, work the steps with a sponsor. And, you know, therein lies the spiritual solution for our problems. And so I, right now I am, I've been on the General Service Board for a little, about a year and a half now, maybe since December of 2019. And so I just want to read a couple of things out of the manual for service about what the treasurer at this level does. And so so right now I'm on the finance committee. I'm chairing the office committee. I'm on the finance committee, and I am assistant treasurer, and I'm training this year with Tom R., who is the treasurer and who does a great job. So I'm training with Tom to become the treasurer next year after World Service Conference. So here's what it says in the DAMS about the treasurer. The treasurer shall be the chief financial officer of the corporation and shall be in charge of the corporation's financial books and accounts. Subject to the control of the General Service Board of Trustees, she or he shall have such powers and perform such other duties as the General Service Board of Trustees or the president chairperson may from time to time assign to her or him. So, you know, be in charge of the books and keep track of all that stuff and other duties as assigned that might come from the board or the chair. And, you know, this service at this level for me has been just an incredibly opening and, well, it's just been a really good experience. And I want to talk a little bit about the time commitment. And, you know, I feel like perhaps DA members are sometimes overprotective of their time, and they think that they can't step up and do anything because it's going to, you know, take too much of their time and so on. And I don't know if that's true, but it feels to me like it's more true in our fellowship than in some of the other fellowships. And I just want to say that my experience has been that if I looked at my life and tried to wait until all the circumstances were perfectly aligned before I could do any service work or do any service, I would never do service, because life doesn't really work that way. I think we all feel like we have a lot to do, and maybe feel sometimes like we have too much to do. And, you know, how am I going to find the time to do this extra service? And I don't even really know how long it's going to take me to do it. And so my experience has been, and I, you know, as I did service at local and intergroup level, I remember feeling sometimes like I would perhaps wait until right before I had to get something done and then get it done. And I would feel a little bit of resentment creeping in about, I've agreed to do this and now I have to do it. My experience with service at the General Service, first at World Service Conference and now at the General Service Board level, has been different, and somehow it has changed me. The service that I have done has changed me and continues to change me to be more embracing of doing the service and actually committing to and finding the time to do it, somewhat more ahead of time than I used to. You know, I'm still not perfect there, of course, but so the service, just doing the service has changed me. And I really wanted to, mention that. And I feel like my sponsor, and if you have a sponsor, your sponsor has a role in your service. Your sponsor can help you, in a lot of ways. And if, like me, you've already worked through the steps with your sponsor, your sponsor can help you with your service commitments. And in my case, my sponsor has done some of this work before. And so he really has some concrete ways to help me. And so that's a good thing, too. Again, back to the topic of you take a role that you haven't done before, there will be people in the program who will help you. And so I just wanted to talk about the numbers a little bit. So if you're doing a local group, you might be having, you might have $500, $750, $1,500, $2,000 in your account or something at any given time. And your people have talked about presenting that data to the group when the time comes. And, if you're doing an intergroup service, you might have three or four times that amount of money to deal with. And then at the, our current spending plan at the General Service Board level, we are projecting for a total revenue of just a little over $200,000. So, and Debtors Anonymous is a very small program. And we're in pretty good shape financially right now. Individual contributions have been increasing. We've had lowered costs because of the pandemic. The fellowship really is in good shape. So those are just, some of the, the magnitude of the numbers that you're going to be working with at local intergroup and World Service levels. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to check in on this one thing. In the 12 tools of Debtors Anonymous, tool number 10 is business meetings, and people have talked about this already. There's a passage in here that says, many of us have long harbored feelings that business, and they put business in quotes, was not a part of our lives, but for others, more qualified. And again, Diana and George have both talked about doing the treasurer job has somehow, I've said that the work, the service changed me. I think they were talking about how it's changed them as well. And the fear goes away after you do it for a while. And, the truth is, or the reality is that it takes leadership. People have to step up and do these positions or the fellowships will not exist at all. And the thing that I would like to say again, and George and Diana have said it already, but that doing service enhances your own recovery. You may think it, you may feel like it's an obligation or, you know, something that you don't really want to get involved with, but if your goal is to increase your own recovery and have a better life, you know, I believe that the reason we're all in recovery is to move closer toward happy, joyous, and free. And if that's what you want in your life, doing service can actually help with that. And so something that you might think is going to be a problem or an obstacle, or you don't know how you're going to do it, if you step up, get the help you need, the service will change you, your life will change, and you know, things get better. Things definitely get better as we stay around this program and work the program around our money issues.
5 minutes remaining.
Oh, thanks, Diana. So, let's see. As I said, I'm assistant treasurer and training to become the treasurer. And as I look at the, there's a document that I have that I've been looking at that is the treasurer's, the General Service Board treasurer's responsibilities. And it is 3 pages plus a little more. There's probably something like 100 tasks. If you look at all the line items, there's something like 100 tasks in there. And it feels like a lot. And yet I've seen somebody, you know, I talked about Tom R. a few minutes ago. I've seen Tom do this job and do it well. I've watched other people do it, so I know it's possible. I know where I can get some help if and when I need it. I'm sure I will need it, and so I can ask for help when that time comes, and I'm sure I will get the help that I need. And so again, as I walk deeper into my DA service, it continues to change me. God continues to do for me what I think I might not be able to do for myself. You know, God does for me what I can't do for myself. And that has happened over and over and over again in my life. And, you know, just a little bit about my own personal history. I talked about the Great Recession. And so I came back into the program in 2006, and there were just, you know, the recession was on the horizon. And but I had other reasons for coming back into the program. My business was in deep trouble with all the debt that I had created, and I was losing my enthusiasm for working as hard as I had in that business for so many years. I had that business for 18 years, and I was losing my enthusiasm. And I came back into Debtors Anonymous. My solvency date is in 2010. And, Diana talked about coming in on her knees. I certainly came back into the program. I had been in the program for 3.5 years, ending in 1996. But I never had a sponsor. I never worked the steps. I didn't treat Debtors Anonymous like a real program until I had to. When I came back in 2006, just completely demolished, and the destruction wasn't even, you know, it got a lot worse before it got any better. So that's kind of my history of Debtors Anonymous, and I've been attending meetings and doing service ever since. And I feel like that for me, this work and this program is going to be something that I'm going to be involved with my entire life. And you know, I'm learning that I want it that way. People have spoken about meeting other GSRs and that this, you know, when you do service work, you meet people. You get to know people. They get to know you. Thank you, Diana. They get to know you, and it just has so many benefits that you can't envision when you first start to do it. So I'm gonna leave it there. Again, my name is Paul. I'm a compulsive debtor, and thank you all for listening. And again, thank you, Diana D, for setting this up, and for Diana and George for speaking so well before me. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul M., for your wonderful share and service to this fellowship. It's now time to stop the recording, so I'll do that.